This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Gave the theme that I preached on last week and gave you for the year, what the Lord gave me. I want to say it again. I want it to be in your spirit because it's important. You know, I prayed about it and sought God, and this is what God gave me from the Word. And that's what the message was last week, is that as you trust and fear the Lord, blessing and increase is yours, all you children, women, and men in 2010. I really believe that. Today I want to continue on that thought a little bit. Last week we talked about trusting God, what that entails, and we talked about fearing God also. Today I want to continue more on the fear of the Lord. Okay, I want to minister to you about the fear of the Lord. That's really an important subject as we prepare ourselves for a new year. You know, when I talk about the fear of the Lord, what do you think about today? Okay, what comes in your mind when I say the fear of the Lord? All right, that's what we want to look at today in the Word. And I'm going to come out of basically the book of Proverbs. There's so much information about the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. And see, when today I want you to realize, when you have the fear of the Lord, it'll cause you to hate some things and love other things. I don't know if you caught that today. If you have the fear of the Lord, it'll change your whole life, okay? Because when you say, I fear the Lord, or I reverence the Lord, or I respect the Lord today, that means I'm going to follow what He hates and what He loves, okay? Anybody with me today? All right, nobody's going to fall asleep, right? Amen? Amen. So I want to turn to an opening scripture with you, and then we're going to go to another set of scriptures. Turn with me to Proverbs 8. We're going to look at one verse in Proverbs 8 first, okay? And I've probably shared these scriptures in the past, but beginning a new year, this is where I felt the Lord for today. I had something else too God was giving me, but this is what I felt was what He wanted today. Praise the Lord. So when we have the fear of the Lord, it causes us to do something today. All right, that's what you're going to see in these scriptures. In Proverbs 8, we're going to read verse 8:13. Okay, Proverbs 8, verse 13. And I know we have some new people here today. I'm going to encourage you and all of our people, you should read a Proverbs a day. In your devotional time, you should read the proverb for the day. Today is the 10th. You should read Proverbs 10 in your devotional time. There's 31 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. And I've been doing that for years. Okay, if you want to have wisdom in your life, read a proverb a day. Okay, that's just a little, that was free, by the way. Okay, no charge for that today. Amen? All right, praise God. Let's look at this verse, Proverbs 8:13. It says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. What is evil here? He tells us, in God's eyes, what is evil? Evil is pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Ho! This is a scripture which will wake us up today. Okay? Let me read it again. I want it in our spirit. The fear of the Lord is to what? If you have the fear of the Lord today, you are going to hate evil. Alright? Because how many know with God today, our God, there's no evil in our God? Anybody here today? Amen? God is what? Holy. Everything about our God, when you read the Bible, everything is holy. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. And He hates evil. Okay? So today, if we say we fear the Lord, we know God hates evil, so we should hate evil too. All right, got a few with me, praise God. And what is evil here? We see a few things. We see, number one, we see pride and arrogance. Okay? God hates pride and arrogance. Okay? Now, I know there's, today I've shared about this before, there's a good pride that we can have. When you have, you know, a good pride, that means you care. You want to do your best, you know. You don't just do things flippantly. That's different. But there's an evil kind of pride or even arrogance that makes you know what I'm talking about today. You know, pride that you've arrived, you know it all, you know, nobody can tell you anything, even God. Hello. You know what I'm talking about? You know, that's the kind of pride or arrogance. You are more special than anybody else, okay? God despises pride, okay? He hates arrogance. You know, there used to be a guy at my job. He's no longer there, but he was the most arrogant agent that I ever met. And you know what bothered me about him was so much? He was the most wicked person in the business, okay? He used to do real big numbers for the company. The company, you know, loved the production that this agent did, but he did it all wrong, okay? He did it all backhanded, you know. It was all evil the way he did it, all right? So it didn't matter what the numbers said because he did it the wicked way. How many know you can do business the right way or the wrong way today? All right? So that I hated that, and he was arrogant about it. Okay? He had an arrogance about it that he could do all this and he was so good and nobody else could be like him. One year I was in the middle of trying to make we have trips that we can make on my job. I'm in sales, you know that, sell insurance, and every year we have a trip that we can make. And I had 1 month left to qualify for this trip, and I needed to make I needed a big month of business. I think it was like $10,000 of business I had to have in 1 month. And he heard me say it. I said to the people, I'm going to make this, all right? Not arrogantly, but with the Lord's help. I said, I believe I can do this. How many know there's a good way of having goals and going for them? You got to believe today. Amen? So I made a statement in the office that I was going to make that goal. He came up to me after that meeting and he said, Rich, this is what you need to do. He said, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean I can't do that? He said, I don't think you can do it. I said, okay, wait and see. All right, that's all I said to him. You know, God used him to motivate me even more. How many know what I'm talking about? So that I could what? Not so that I could then at the end of the month say, oh, I'm so special, I did it. No, with God, I did it. Amen? God helped me, all right? So, you know what? The month came, and you know what? I not only did 10,000, I did 12,000 that month. 12,500, I think it was. It was the best month I ever had in the company. And I went up to him, I said, hey, Joe, I did it, huh? He couldn't say a word. And it was like, You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And again, I didn't do that for him, but God helped me, okay? That's not pride. That's not arrogance, okay? You know what I mean here today. There's a big difference. But God, he hates that kind of pride or that arrogance because our God is not like that. Everything you see here that God hates, it's because it's the opposite of him today. Amen? All right, praise God. So pride and arrogance, he don't like it. The evil way, okay? There can always be a good way and an evil way of doing things. And we don't elaborate here, but you know what God is saying here, what the scriptures say. He hates what? The evil way. And that can entail a lot today. I'm not going to go into all that. But the evil way. There's a good way, and there's a righteous way, and there's an evil way, okay? God says, I hate the evil way. And you know what? Today, you and me should say, I agree. I hate the evil way too. When you see wickedness or corruption, you should say, I hate that. Because God hates it. Anybody here today? All right? It's important, okay? Because it defines who you are. You know, as a Christian today, we're supposed to be what? Like God. So if God hates this, we should hate it too. Amen? You know, divorce. God hates divorce today. It's not in there, but I know it. It's in the scriptures. God hates divorce. We should hate divorce too. But the world doesn't hate it, right? That's why it's over 50%. Because they think, well, it's, you know, if I don't make it with Joan, I'll go with Mary. I mean, that's the way it is, right? But in God's eyes, He hates divorce, okay? Big difference, amen. Those are some of the things that are evil, he says here, the evil way. And here's the last one in this particular scripture. He says, I hate the forward mouth, okay? The forward mouth. What does that mean? Well, I like the Amplified, it says it this way. It's perverted or twisted speech, okay? Perverted or twisted speech. Let's just break it down. Evil speech, okay? God hates for us to have a mouth that speaks evil, all right? We shouldn't have a mouth that is, you know, not only can speak vulgarity, okay, because that's evil speech, swearing and all that, but just plain down evil, you know, whatever you're saying, putting people down, there's all kinds of ways you can speak evil, all right? You know what I'm talking about today. Everybody is grown, and you understand me today. So God says, I hate evil speech, all right? I hate a mouth that is not pure and clean, all right? How many know today what comes out of the mouth is because what's in the heart first? Yes. Amen? That's biblical. What's in the heart is going to come out in your mouth, all right? So a lot of times if we're speaking wickedness or we have a wicked mouth, it's because there's something wrong inside. And God wants to fix that. Amen? Doesn't mean we're all perfect here. I understand that. Doesn't mean we're always going to say the right thing. That's different. This is, I mean, being this way all the time. God hates this. Okay? Why? Because it's so much not like Him. And it should be so much not like us today. As a believer, as a Christian, God hates these things. Okay? Now, if you look at the opposite of what we just read, because that's what God loves. You know, if God hates pride and arrogance, well, I think He loves humility. Amen? He does. Instead of pride and arrogance, God loves humility and meekness today. It's all over in the scriptures. I don't have time to go to all the particular scriptures today. You know what I'm talking about. You can find a lot of these scriptures. So God loves humility. He loves meekness. Instead of the evil way, God likes the right way or the righteous way for us to do things. Amen? And God, He also loves, instead of a mouth that speaks evil, God loves a pure mouth. Amen? God loves a true and honest speech that comes out of our mouth. God wants us to be real. Amen? God wants us to be real today. Praise God. Not to you know, be foolish or lie. You know, we're going to get into some other things God hates. But God wants you to be pure from your mouth. And if your heart is pure, your mouth will be pure today. See, they all work hand in hand today. This is, when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, this is the fear of the Lord. That we follow the Lord in this way. So those are some things that we see here. But I want to go to another set of scriptures that bring out a little bit more to us today. Okay, what else does God hate? And not only hate, but where I'm going to have you turn, also it says God thinks of these things as an abomination. That's a strong word today in the scriptures. Okay, turn with me to Proverbs 6, and we're going to look at 16 to 19 today. So, we're saying today, our theme for the year is that we're going to trust and fear the Lord. Well, here's some of this fear of the Lord. What is all this fear of the Lord all about? What does it entail for me? If I say I really fear the Lord, it means I'm going to be like the Lord. Okay? My character is going to change and be like the Lord. This is the character of the Lord we're talking about today. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I'm allowing God to change me every day to become in His image, to be like Him, because I'm a Christian. The word Christian means to have Christ within or to be Christ-like. Maybe you didn't know that today. That's what the word Christian means, to be Christ-like, to have Christ within. Okay? So look at the scriptures here. It gets a little bit more entailed. In Proverbs 6, we're going to read verses 16 to 19. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Let me just read this first, and then we'll come back and look at each one. Okay? It says, "These six things does the Lord hate." Here it is again. Just like what we read. "And yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Not only does he hate them, but they're abomination too. I'll go into that a little bit in a minute. Okay? And what are they today? Verse 17. "A proud look." There it is again. "A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood," verse 18, "a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations," now we're talking about the heart here, okay, "feet that be swift in running to mischief," wow, verse 19, "a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Wow. Those are seven things total here. This is what God hates, and they're also an abomination unto him. Okay? Some of the things that we read here, we read already in Proverbs 8. But now you have some other things added to it. So let's look at this. Let's look at each one a little bit here today. But first of all, I want you to see how he says, not only does he hate these things, but they're an abomination to him. That's a real strong word today, an abomination, okay? When you think of abomination, the meaning of that word is this. Something that is an abomination is abhorred of the Lord. God despises it, okay? It's despisable to the Lord. It's detestable to the Lord, okay? It's vile when you think of an abomination. It's vile to God. It's shameful to God. It's just plain very bad in God's eyes. Something that is an abomination. And it also means what he hates. But I think it has more of a stronger connotation here. That not only does he hate it, but it's an abomination to him. All right? He don't even want to see it. Okay? Should be the same for us today. So what does he tell us here again? Well, let's look at them briefly, each one again. He says in 17, the first one is a proud look. All right? Same what we read before, a proud look. And I like the Amplified Bible. It says this about a proud look. It says, "The spirit that makes me," or makes one, let me say it right, "the spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others." That's what a proud look is. Let me read that again. It's a spirit that's inside of you that makes you overestimate who you are and underestimate others. Meaning, you're not equal with your brother or your sister when you have a proud look, okay? You think more highly of yourself than you do of anybody else, okay? That's pride today. That proud look, God hates it. It's an abomination to him. Okay. The next thing we see, he says what? A lying tongue. Okay? A lying tongue. God what? Hates a lying tongue. Praise God. We talked in the other verses about what? A pure mouth. Well, you can't have a pure mouth if you speak lies. Okay? And how many know our God is not a liar today? Amen. God is the opposite of that. He speaks truth. Okay? And God wants us to be the same, okay? Lying is an abomination to God. Alright? So we have to try our best to make sure that as we deal with one another and deal with people, we are honest as much as we can, okay? And do not lie, because it's not good. Alright? It's not becoming of us as people, as Christians, as a representative of the Lord. It's totally the opposite of who God is. So if people find us lying, you know what? It really disturbs or hurts our image as a Christian today. How many know what I'm talking about? If you tell people you're a Christian and they catch you lying from time to time, they're going to say, what do you mean? You're a Christian and you lie? You know what I'm saying? It's not who we are to be, okay? And God hates it. It's an abomination to Him. I got another verse with this that I want to show you. In Proverbs 12:22, you can either listen to me or turn to it. We have a cross-reference to this. In 12:22, it says this, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Amen? There it is again. He says, you know, lying lips, they are an abomination to God. But what does God truly delight in? It's those that deal truly. Okay? Honestly. You don't lie. Okay? Lying gets you in trouble. Amen. How many know if you lie once, you might have to lie again to cover the first lie? And then on and on and on. Okay? It's just you get caught. You know, the devil puts you, he tricks you, you know. If you think you need to do that, he gets you caught up in that, and you know what? You get into a mess then. It's like a web, okay? We need to be honest. We need to be truthful because our God is that way. God delights in us being truthful. Amen. Praise God. Let me move on here. In verse 17, what's the next thing he hates and is an abomination? Hands that shed innocent blood. Okay? Hands that shed innocent blood. God hates that today. It's an abomination, meaning God doesn't want us to hurt anybody. Okay? We shouldn't hurt our fellow man for no reason. How many know what I'm talking about? Just think how better our world would be today if we didn't have people hurting one another. Shedding innocent blood. Amen? You know, this one story sticks in my mind. I seem to have a hard time getting out of my mind. This happened, I think it was right around Christmas. On the news, they showed a 79-year-old man in Chicago. You probably will remember this story. He was going, I think, to get chicken. I forgot what chicken store or restaurant it was. But somebody killed him on the way to getting chicken for Christmas. Okay? 79-year-old man. And not only did the guy rob him, but he killed him. It was so sad. Okay? We don't need to do that. You know, we don't. That's shedding innocent blood today. There's so many that are killing and hurting one another in our society. God hates it. God, it's detestable to God. You know, people need to wake up. You have no right to hurt somebody else. Amen? You didn't create that person. You have no authority over that person. You should never want to hurt that person. Now, we understand we have laws, we have rules. If somebody does something to somebody else, well then, you know what? They might get hurt. But that's in a court of justice, okay? That's different, you know? Sometimes you have to pay for your mistake. How many know what I'm talking about? That's different, all right? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about hurting one another or hurting somebody when there's no reason for you to do that, okay? God hates that today. It's abomination to Him. We should hate it too, okay? We should hate it too. Moving along here, praise God. Verse 18, what else does God hate? He says He hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now we talked about the mouth, but now let's talk about the heart a little bit, okay? He says a heart that devises wicked imaginations, okay? Now, with this, we can think about the heart, but I want you to think about your mind too. Because how many know the heart and mind work together today? Amen? And if you are devising wicked imaginations, that's coming from your mind too. Amen? So God hates a wicked heart and a wicked mind, okay? If we allow ourselves to think wickedly like that, where we try to devise things, amen, we have some problems, okay? God says, I can't stand a heart like that, okay? We should be thinking good things, amen? We should think good things about what we could do, not wicked, you know, imaginations. You know, it should be holy things that we should think about, pure things, things that are honest and true. That's in the book of Philippians. You know that verse, okay? So God says, I despise an evil heart that has this kind of a heart. It thinks of wicked thoughts and plans. Okay, it's terrible. Okay, we should not allow ourselves to be that way. All right, and again, if that's in us, something's wrong, and God will clean you up if you let Him. Amen. God will clean it up if you let Him. That's the key. Surrendering ourselves to the Lord, that He can change our heart. Okay, He will change your heart today, church, if you let Him. You got to be willing though and say, Lord, I need my mind renewed. Praise God. I need my heart changed. You know, maybe somebody hurt us in the past, and we have unforgiveness for somebody. You know, that can cause you to have wicked imaginations today. I understand that. The past can be hurtful today. Maybe your family has hurt you in the past. Maybe you weren't raised the way you should have been, and because of that, you have hurt from the past, and it's caused maybe for you to have hate towards people, family. That happens all the time. But God says, I want to heal you of that. I want to clean you up of that. You know, because those people, whoever did this, obviously they need help too. All right? And by you feeling this way, it's not making you any better. God wants you to be better. God wants you to heal you. So there's reasons for why people become wicked or have a heart that is wicked and has these kind of imaginations. All right? There's reasons for all that. It just doesn't happen overnight. Okay? We understand that today. Another scripture dealing with an evil heart, in Proverbs 11:20, it says this: they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. There it is again. Okay? Having a froward heart, it's an abomination to God. But God delights in those who are what? Upright in their way. God has delight in that. He wants to see your heart pure and holy and good. Okay? It brings joy to God when He sees you're a good person. You have a good heart. Amen? You really love people. You care for people. That's God in you. Amen? That's the love of God shed abroad in your heart. And it shows to people when you have a good heart. Amen? God loves that today. Praise the Lord. Now, what you see here is like a progression. Now, in this verse, going back to Proverbs 6, we see a heart that has wicked imaginations. So first you have to think about it. You have to have imaginations. You dwell on it. But then it causes you to do the next step, which is the next one. It says, feet that are swift in running to mischief. Okay? If you have a heart that is evil or has wicked imaginations or evil thoughts, you know what? First, you got to think about it before you go and do it. How many with me today? That's the way it works. Okay? It starts with a thought. All right? A thought will linger and build, and because of evil imaginations, it'll cause you to have evil activity. So that's why God wants to so much permeate your mind and your heart. Because if it's good inside, only good's going to happen outside. All right. So we see the progression here. If someone who has a heart that is wicked is going to have feet that are swift and running to mischief. When they see trouble, when they see evil activity, they want to run to it. You notice what it says? They got feet that are swift. They're going to run to it real fast when they see it. Okay? You don't even have to think about it anymore, because it's a part of you. You have that evil heart, so you'll easily be led to go to evil. Okay? See, today, if you think gambling's not a problem, when you hear about a gambling scene somewhere, or when they're betting on certain things, when somebody might tell you, you can make $100,000 if you go and do this and do that, man, you're going to run to that, because that's what you want to do. Right? Because that's what you feel inside. Oh, you know, nothing wrong with me gambling and blowing all my money and not having money to support my family. How many know that's what gambling will do to you? Right? If you gamble, you're going to lose. Amen? That's why it's called gambling. Amen? You know, so many people haven't gotten it yet. So many go to what? The casinos, and you know, they'll play and play. Yeah, you'll win sometimes, but most of the time, what are you going to do? You're going to lose. And people get addicted to it, right? But that's what he's trying to say here. You know, if you have that in you, you're going to run to it when you have an opportunity to do it. And it'll hurt you, okay? It'll hurt you. It'll hurt your family. So what's inside is going to come out, but it has to be up here too. You know, you dwell on it. It's in your heart, and then it shows up. You have feet that are swift and running to mischief. God says, I hate it. I despise it. It's an abomination to me today. And it should be to us too. I'm just giving you examples as I go along. Verse 19, we're wrapping up here. It says, a false witness that speaketh lies. So we talked about lying before, but this is kind of lying upon lying. All right? You could be a liar today just for yourself, about yourself. All right? But then you could also be what? A false witness. So you can lie for somebody else. That's what we're talking about here. Being a false witness and speaking lies. Okay? Meaning you're going to speak lies under oath. Okay? When maybe it's needed for you to tell somebody the truth, you lie about what you saw or about what you heard. Okay? You're a false witness. All right? That's, God hates it. Because it's lying. You may be lying on the behalf of somebody else, maybe to help somebody else. Somebody might tell you, you know what, if you lie for me, I give you $100. Right? That happens all the time. People will bribe you. How many know bribery is illegal? Right? So it's bad enough just to be one to lie for yourself, but then you lie on the behalf of others, of what you see or what you hear. A false witness. God says, I hate it because you're speaking lies. We're not to be that way. We're to be the opposite. We're to be truthful about what we see, about what we hear, as much as possible, to the most degree that we can be. God wants us to be truthful because that blesses Him. Amen. I got a scripture with that also. In Proverbs 12:17, it says this. It says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. Okay? When you're a false witness, you're bringing forth deceit. You know, you're not telling the truth, and God is not pleased. He hates it. It'll ruin you. It's going to ruin you. It may help somebody else for a time being, but it's going to ruin you as you walk with the Lord. It's going to come back to haunt you. And the last one here, he says in verse 19, he says, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. There's a reason why he left this to be last. Because it's a real bad one. Okay? And we have to be so careful that we don't ever allow ourselves to what? Sow discord or sow division amongst the brethren. Amongst family. Okay? Amongst church family, praise God, wherever, okay? God hates when we are the one to cause what? Discord or bring disunity. God hates it. It's abomination. Because God wants the opposite from us. Amen? God wants us to build unity. Amen? God wants us to build us up here in the church, right? God wants us to encourage one another. God wants us to help one another, right? Not the opposite. Sometimes we get a bad apple in the bunch. Amen? And one person can destroy literally a church who sows what? Discord. Causes problems. You know, is in the Amplified Bible, it says it this way. You become a busybody. Right? You're busy in everybody else's affairs. And you're saying things and doing things that only hurts and breaks the unity that we build, okay? God says, I hate that. It's an abomination to me because God is a God of unity today. God wants to build unity, amen? He wants people to love one another and help one another. And that's what our family here at the church is all about. It's So we have to be careful. We don't ever allow ourselves or allow somebody else to cause you to get disgruntled. If somebody ever comes to you and you sense they may not know what they're doing, let me say this to you, but you sense that what they're doing is going to bring discord in the house of the Lord, or this could be in your family, you need to stop it. Amen? Do what is right to stop it. If it's in the church and you know something's happening, you should come tell me. Tell the pastor. Tell one of the leaders. Say, you know, this and this is going on. We need to resolve this because it's going to hurt the unity here. How many know what I'm talking about today? Very important. Very important. And God says, you know what? I hate it and it cannot happen. Okay? So, again, we have to guard our mouth and what we do. These are things that God hates and that they're an abomination. Okay? So, today when we're talking, and we, our theme this year is to trust the Lord and to have a fear of the Lord. Here it is. Okay? I think that opens it up a little bit more. We can't just say, oh, I fear the Lord today. What I would say to you is, show me. Amen? I need to show you, right? If I fear God, I'm going to walk that way. Right? I'm going to do to the best of my ability what's right and not wrong. Say what's right and what's not wrong. Amen? And try to be like God. If God hates these things, amen, we should hate them. Okay? Don't be like the world, wishy-washy. The people in the world today, they don't have any morals. Amen? That's what I'm talking about here. They don't have character. But God is a God of what? Character. Amen? And we can be proud of it today. Amen? God is a God of morals. Amen? God always wants what's right. The devil always wants what's wrong. Amen? We can't be in the middle. We got to be on one side, and that's God's side. So we're going to trust God this year, and we're also going to fear God. And when we say that, it includes all of this that we read to you today. It's a lot. It's a lot. There's much more that I could bring you, but it's enough for our message today. Amen. These are the things that God hates and are abominable to Him. And all the opposites is what God loves. Okay? They're real simple here. We saw them today. All the opposite of what He hates is what He loves. It's real simple. I'm going to read you just a couple verses to close here. So just bear with me. You don't have to turn to these verses. I'm going to read them to you. And I'm sure our brother will put them on the screen. These are just verses I want to kind of leave you with, praise God, about the fear of the Lord. What happens, again, with the fear of the Lord? This first verse I want you to receive is that God will bless you with goodness if you have a fear of the Lord today. In Psalm 31:19, it says this, "Oh, how great is thy goodness." How many know that God's goodness is great today? He says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up." Now listen to this, "for them that fear thee." Amen. Who's going to receive the goodness of God this year of 2010? Those that fear the Lord. Amen. That follow Him just like He is to the best of their ability. Amen. He says, "which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee." There it is also. "Before the sons of men." All right? So God's goodness is going to be given to us this year if we trust Him. And if we walk in the fear of the Lord like He does, that's so important today. Another scripture I have for you is in Luke 1:50. We also receive something else when we have the fear of the Lord. In Luke 1:50 it says, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." So when we fear the Lord, you know what? God gives us mercy. Because God knows we're going to make mistakes. Anybody know that today? Amen? We are this year. We're going to make some mistakes. Hopefully less than we made last year. Amen? We should be better this year than last year because we should have matured from last year going into a new year. Anybody with me today? Amen? But when we make a mistake and God knows our heart, He says, you know what? If you really fear me and you're really serving me, I got mercy on you. I need the mercy of God. Amen. I'm thankful I have it as long as I follow Him and trust Him and fear Him. Praise God. Two more scriptures. In 1 Peter 2:17, I like this verse. It says, this is what we're to do. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Here it is. Fear God. Oh, yes. And honor the King. Amen? If we could do these things, boy, if our world could just do these things, how much better our world would be today if we would just honor everybody. Okay? Those who deserve to be honored. Meaning, you respect your fellow man, your fellow woman, right? You respect each other. You love the brotherhood. Amen? And you fear God. Praise God. There it is. And you honor the King. You honor those that are in places of authority. Okay? God says you're going to be blessed. My last verse is Ecclesiastes 12:13. It's an awesome verse. I know you know this one. This kind of sums up everything here. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the whole what we're talking about even today. It says, what are we to do? Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Wow. Isn't that good? Praise God. Sums it up. I mean, if there's a verse that we could sum up what we talked about today, here it is. That's why it was my last verse to close with you. We're to do this. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We're to fear God. And if you fear God, you're going to keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen. Praise God. I hope I've encouraged you today as we are in a new year, praise God, that we really trust and fear the Lord. Amen. Because if we do that, the Scripture tells us, you know what? Blessing, God will bless you. Amen. And God will bring you increase this year. How He's going to do it? In what way? I can't tell you. He'll tell you. Amen. And more than tell you, He'll show you. Okay? How many know God is faithful today? He's faithful to His Word. So I can guarantee that to you. If you walk in trust with the Lord this year better than last year, and you walk in the fear of the Lord better than last year, you will be blessed this year. And you will have increase. God will take care of you and your family. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask Dawn if she would come up, and Angela can come up, and I want to do that song, Trust and Obey, okay? Because I think that song really hits this message right there. Praise God. So let's sing this as we close, and then I'll come up and lead us in a closing prayer. Amen? God, I want you to be happy. And I want you to just go forth today, have a great day, trusting and obeying, okay? So let me lead you in prayer as we close. Lord, we thank You for today. Thank You for this time that we were able to spend together in the house of the Lord. Bless, Lord, everyone that's here. God, bless every family represented. Let it be just a great day in the Lord. Let each one have just a great attitude as we have entered in a new year, Lord. Give each one a bright outlook on this year, God. Lord, as we trust and obey, Lord, we know that You're going to meet all our needs according to Your riches and glory. We bless Your holy name today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, come on up and I'll pray with you. Otherwise, have a great day. Amen.